the things that the Lord wanted him to see. And tonight, that is, I believe, all of us, is that we are all watchmen. The Lord has called us all to look diligently after our families and our loved ones, even the church and God's people. And sometimes we just got to go a little higher and get proper perspective. But nonetheless, we have a brand new service tonight, and we're looking forward to it. We have Brother Randy this evening on the keyboard, and so we're looking forward to what Brother Randy has for us tonight. I do want to mention the request that I mentioned this morning with a couple additions. And let's remember tonight, Miss Nancy McClendon. And Miss Nancy was in the hospital this morning. She had cluster migraines, headaches. Those of you that suffer from headaches know that whenever you get a cluster of them and migraines, that it's not a pleasant experience. And so, but she's back home now, and she's feeling okay. She's just resting. And so let's pray for Miss Nancy and Brother Bobby. Also, someone shared with me today that Jim Carmichael is having some health problems. And so let's remember Brother Jim and Sister Bonnie Carmichael. Let's continue to remember Brother T.D. Burgess as he is getting ready to start a new medication tomorrow. And this hopefully will stop the growth of the tumor that he has. Brother T.D. being 90 years old and preached for several years. And I think Miss Joy told me the last time that he preached was back in June. And so what a man Brother T.D. is. So we're praying for them tonight and their family during this time. And let's just remember everyone on our prayer list. Brother Harold Dolph has a procedure coming up on the 11th at 1 o'clock. And so let's remember him in our prayers. Also, we mentioned this morning that our Easter service this year is going to be outside on the grounds. And it's going to be a great time. We have we're going to have an FM radio station on the dial prepared for you to listen for those that haven't been to church yet. We're trying to make it as easy and safe as possible. And so everybody, come on out, everybody, to our Easter service. And again, you can stay in your car, you can pack a chair, you can do any of those things. It's going to be a great time. We're going to invite the community and see who all shows up to celebrate our resurrected Lord. And then on the 23rd of May, which is a little ways out, the diplomats will be with us. And that's going to be a time of encouragement, prayer, and praise. And so you pray for us as we just really plan our course. And the Lord being the one who directs our course, just pray for us, the leadership here at Calvary, and our church as a whole. We have a desire to move forward and a desire to proclaim Christ in our community. And we're going to do that. And we're going to do that with great joy. Let's pray tonight, and then we're going to toss it back to Brother Randy, and then we'll bring the message shortly after. Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight. We're thankful for who you are, for what you do. Thank you, God, for giving clear direction in our lives individually and even as a church. Lord, we are desirous to reach our community. We're desirous to get back in church all the way. So, Lord, it's not going to be long from now, and I feel that we will be fully back. And I pray that when we do all come back fully, that we would, our hearts would be directed to you, Lord, and that we would be your servants in the house of God. And, Lord, that we would always be mindful of those who don't know you, and that we would invite people to church. Be with us tonight in a mighty way. I pray that you'll be with these prayer requests and touch those who need a touch physically, mentally. Lord, we just thank you for who you are and for the things that you do. We love you tonight. Be with our world, all of our first responders. We thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
empty and broken, I came back to Him. A vessel unworthy and so scarred by sin. But He did not despair. He started over. I bless the day He didn't throw the clay away. Over He molds me and makes me into His likeness. He fashions this clay, a vessel of honor I am today, and it's all because Jesus didn't throw the clay. Fashions this clay, a vessel of honor I am today, and it's all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. there's just a few more days down here to labor. Then I will take, I'm gonna take that heavenly flight to Beulah Land. I'm longing for you.
Thank you, Brother Randy. Well, again, it's good to be here tonight. And we are on the brink, threshold of a brand new week. And my prayer is that you have a wonderful week. And that you tell somebody about the Lord. But as we're on this threshold of a brand new week, I want to bring something to you tonight that I hope will be a blessing to you as it was to me.
We were prepared. We're going to be in Galatians for a few moments tonight. Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter number 2. And we're going to look at one verse. That is verse number 20. Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 20, is where we're going to be for a few moments this evening. Notice what the writer says here in Galatians 2, verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
That is Galatians 2, verse number 20. Tonight I want to talk to you for a few moments on this subject, dead man walking. Dead man walking. Paul deals with identity in this verse. He deals with identity. Sometimes you hear about people, and especially young people, I guess more so, of having an identity crisis. It's where they're not really sure who they are, and they have allowed people, they have allowed society, they have allowed Hollywood and all of these other things to determine who they are. And so therefore there are real cases of identity crises. But Paul deals with identity here in the life of the believer. And he says that the moment that he got saved, he became a dead man, that is to self, and alive unto God. And so we have, in a very, very strong sense, a dead man walking. And those that know Jesus as their Savior, the moment that you said yes to Him, the old man died, and there was a resurrection in spiritual life, and the Lord Jesus had taken His abode in your heart, and now you are alive unto God, and you have fresh new desires to live for the Lord, to please Him, to read His Word, and to pray, to do all of those spiritual things. This is because there has been a new man born. This evening, Paul has often said in many other places that speaking of this dead man walking, this resurrected man speaks of this account. 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." When it comes to dead men walking, this is actually a phrase that a death row inmate, many times when they walk that last bit of stretch down the hallway of a prison, and they're on their way to receive their lethal injection or their whatever means it is that they use, many times that all of those watching from their cells will say, "Dead man walking." And they say that because he is getting ready, they are getting ready to die. I read a story one time, and it's from an author named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I believe this was a Russian author, and he wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. One day after Dietrich got saved and the Lord changed his life, he was in the marketplace, and an old friend said, "Hey, Dietrich, it is I." And Dietrich said, "Hey, friend, it is not I." And so he understood that his old man was dead and that he was a new man unto Christ. And while that old friend recognized his friend Dietrich, but at the same time, Dietrich knew that he wasn't the same man. I want to say tonight that I thank the Lord for saving me and changing my life. There's been some times in my life since being saved, knowing the Lord, that I would run across an old friend or something like that, and they'll say, "Hey, Justin, how's it going? What you been up to?" So I'll proceed to tell them. But it's not the same Justin. It's a different Justin. The old Justin has died, and there has been a new one created in Christ Jesus. And so that would explain all of our new desires, and that would explain the life that we leave behind. Dead man walking this evening. I want to mention a few things out of this verse that pertain unto our current standing as a believer, our position. And again, this is the Apostle Paul who wrote to those of Galatia, and he was explaining what happened at salvation. And he is now trying to make sense out of this for the reader and for the believer. So let's mention a few things. Number one, in this verse we see who Paul belonged to. Who Paul belonged to. He said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul is stating here that he now belongs to the Lord. He now belongs to Christ. So he tells us whose he is. He belongs to Christ. Now, in this verse, Paul, he speaks on identity. But you see, Paul's identity was not in possessions, but his identity was in a person. And he is pointing folks to Christ. He's telling them that he got born again, and the old Paul had died, was crucified with Christ, and now he's living a whole new life. And he's describing to us his identity. And I'm going to say tonight that our identity as a believer has nothing to do with possessions, but has everything to do with a person. Revelation chapter number 2, I want you to notice something. Revelation chapter number 2. And of course, this is written in verse number 8, to the church of Smyrna. And this also deals with identity. It deals with a person, not possessions. In Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 8, listen to this. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation, and listen to this, and poverty. But then he says, but thou art rich. But thou art rich. What is he talking about? Well, no doubt this church of Smyrna, they fell on hard times. And things were rough in the way. And they were a church that, during this time at least, was experiencing great poverty. But if you look in the parentheses, it says, but thou art rich. The church of Smyrna was rich because they centered their ministry. They centered what they do and who they are, not on possessions, but on a person, you see. So he says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. So the church of Smyrna, the Lord identified who they were. And again, they were a church going through a time of poverty, but yet it did not define them. Because the Lord said, you may be in poverty, but you're rich in me. So tonight we see that who Paul belonged to, and that is the Lord. He didn't tell us anything about possessions that identified him, but he said and told us everything about a person which identified him. You know, sometimes those in poverty, sometimes those who are doing without are looked down upon. But let me ask you this. Where was Jesus born? Was Jesus born in a castle? Was Jesus born in a mansion? No. Jesus was born in a manger. You know why that is? It's because he didn't come to preach a message about possessions. He came to preach a message and point people to the Lord himself. It's all about a person. He was born in a manger so that he could relate to people in poverty. And tonight, all of us as believers, and maybe there's some watching, there's not believers, and you can make your own personal decision on accepting the Lord. But us as believers, our identity is not in possessions. It's not about how much we have or what we don't have, but it's all about being in Jesus. He is our identity. And so Paul mentions these things when it comes to his relationship with the Lord. He says, I am crucified with Christ. So we see whose Paul was. He belonged to the Lord. But number two, I want you to notice what Paul was. What he was. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Paul now begins to tell us exactly what took place in his life. He says, I was crucified. And so now we see what Paul was. He was crucified with Christ. Paul says that he is dead to self as Christ died to self on the cross. Therefore, Paul was a new man. Paul was a new man without a past. Let me ask you this question. A newborn baby that's just been born, do they have a past? No, they don't have a past because they were just born. A newborn doesn't have any kind of record in their life. The record is just now starting as a newborn babe and born physically. And the same goes for us, those of us that are saved, that the moment that we get saved, we have been crucified with Christ. The old man is dead, and now there is this new man that's alive unto God and spiritual things. And we don't have a past. What a blessing that is tonight to know that we, as God's children, don't have a past, but we do have a bright future. And all of our sins are gone. And we're on our way to heaven. Sometimes, though, the old devil, Satan, he tries to bring up our past, doesn't he? He tries to bring to our attention and tries to remind us of those things that we did before we got saved. Or he tries to remind us of those things that possibly we've done not long ago being saved. Well, we just bring him to this verse where Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Our old man is gone. There is no record of any more wrongs. And our past sins are gone. Our present sins are gone. And then one day our future sins will be gone. Well, they're all paid for on the cross. But we'll be saved from the presence of sin. That's what I'm trying to say in the future. So the next time that you experience this identity crisis, or you may experience something where you're troubled about who you are, just remember that your life is not in the abundance of possessions, but it has everything to do with the person of Jesus. So we see that Paul says who he is. Paul tells us what he is. He is crucified with Christ. And now Paul tells us where he actually lives. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I am now living in the realm of faith. He says it's a faith life now. Before, it wasn't a faith life. It was a substance life. But now, since Paul's been translated as a child of God, it is a faith life that he's living. I want to say tonight that doesn't matter about money, doesn't matter about excelling in the eyes of the world, doesn't matter what comes your way, what comes my way. If we're saved, we are living in a new realm, and that is the realm of faith. Things are different when a person gets saved. Things change when a person gets saved. And tonight, Paul is telling us that he is crucified with Christ. He is telling us that he is now living in the realm of faith and not the things that are seen. This evening, we're going to close with that. Kind of brief tonight. But nonetheless, dead man walking. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He told us who he belonged to. He told us who he was. And he told us where he lived. And that is the realm of faith. Are you saved tonight? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Well, if you do, then these things are very helpful from day to day as we live the Christian life. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, take this brief word tonight. and use it for your honor and for your glory. Lord, I pray if there's someone watching that does not know you personally, Lord, I pray today will be the day of salvation for them. And Lord, I pray that as we start this brand new week, we would give heed to you. Lord, that we would apply wisdom each and every day. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.